Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Community Live.
It's a very big question. Have a society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the peace gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes, love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
So if you want it, got to bleed, boy, baby.
time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
I was made for you, babe. Hello and welcome to Sheffield Live, Communities Live, 93.2 FM, here on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Sonoy.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
How are you both?
I'm alright, thank you, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
And how are you, Brad? How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
The weather's a bit better than it was when we arrived at the studio last week. There's no rain for now.
Yeah, it's still bitter cold.
Still pretty cold and grey, but at least there's no rain.
Exactly.
That's one bonus.
So, you were talking about earlier about the Xbox Showcase.
Yes, we had that after the show last week.
So, what did you reckon to the showcase? I mean, do you think it was a pretty good showcase, or do you think we could have shown a bit more?
It was okay, actually. I think it's not as good as previous showcases have been, but yeah. The one that stood out for me was Fable, the new one.
Right. And, do you know, was anybody expecting a bit more from Gears of War ED to say that it's supposed to be coming out this year, apparently?
I was hoping for more Gears of War.
I thought there might have been something from Gears of War, to be honest, but whether it's fair saving that later on in the year.
As well as the Halo remake.
Yeah, well, what do you reckon to the Halo remake? I mean,
I'm excited for it. I'm a massive Halo fan.
But do you realise that we're not taking any multiplayer? They're taking the multiplayer away from that. It's just going to be the campaign only, but they're adding 3 new levels to the campaign, which is we're going to do like a prequel. So basically, they're making like a prequel. Like, the first 3 levels are brand new levels altogether.
Okay.
And then you got a remake of the actual campaign for Halo itself.
At least there's some new content in there.
So
that's one positive.
But don't get me wrong, it's a great game. I mean, I played Halo and it's a fantastic game. But does it really need a remake? I mean, or do you think it still holds to its own to this day, do you think?
I'm more unsure about the prequel thing, because Reach is a prequel, and it's direct.
Yeah.
Like, Combat Evolved is directly carries on from Reach.
But do you think they're doing the prequel in the Master Chief's eyes? Do you think they're following it in what happened with Master Chief and that? Because in Halo Reach, I mean, for people who haven't played it, a bit of spoilers, we haven't actually played Master Chief,
right.
Did we? Yeah. It was Spartan something, or weren't
it? Something like that, yeah.
Or Noble Team, yeah,
Noble
yeah.
Team is what it called.
Yeah. And, but I don't think Master Chief was in that game, I don't think he was.
No, technically he was in the ship right at the end, but you just don't see him.
So, well, maybe it'd be an interesting take.
Yeah.
I'd love to see what they do with it. I mean, Halo is a great franchise anyways.
Yeah.
Always has been. Well, maybe one or two games not living up to its standard, yeah. But...
Well, I was so disappointed with the last Halo game, I've got to be honest. I mean, what was it called now?
Infinite.
Halo Infinite. I was so... the campaign... I don't know, the campaign just didn't seem to hit for me.
Do you think it's because it was more open world compared to the other ones?
I don't think it's not a case of being open world. I mean, because most games now are open world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the money is right now. It's all mostly open levels or open world. Because you don't see many games that are linear now, do you, really?
Yeah.
No, not really.
I don't know, I think it might be... The story-wise, I was expecting it to continue exactly where 5 left off, because Cortana was kind of becoming a villain, and we didn't see that. You know, do you see where I'm going from?
I see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm following you here with the Cortana thing.
But apparently they were supposed to be doing 10 years of content for...
That's what I heard,
...for campaign, but...
Which is a lot of... That's a lot of time.
Well, they were supposed to be doing a lot of stories for Infinite, but I think they cancelled it because it wasn't doing very well.
Yeah.
So, now, whether it's going to be a re... So, whether this is just like a reboot of the entire franchise remains to be seen at the moment. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm down for remakes, but you've got to make sure it's all new. Not all new, but... Like, faithful to the original, but make sure the twist is just as good as the original, if you get what I mean.
Like, modernise it in a way.
Yes, modernise it,
but
yes.
But don't, like, change it too much.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do you reckon to remakes? I mean, not just Halo, and but remakes in general. I mean, do you think a lot of games need remaking, or do you think some games should be left lie and make new ideas, do you think?
Some require a remake, I think, but others don't.
No. I'm not sure, like, especially for Halo Combat Evolved. Like, we've got the Master Chief Collection, which has the original remake of Combat Evolved on there.
Yeah.
Which you can flick between the original and the updated graphics on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like with Resident Evil 4. I mean, Resident Evil 4, the original game, came out in 2004. And classic, by the way. And we remade it in 2024.
2 years ago.
20 years ago. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it didn't need a remake. Mm-hmm. Because the original still holds to this day. And it's still a classic. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the remake is just as good, but do you think we're just remaking it just for more, just because it's a cash cow, or do you think it's just easy money, or do you think we actually do need a remake? You know what I mean?
I mean, it's something else for them to do. I mean, I do like the modern graphics, mind.
Yeah.
I mean, but although the classics are classics, I can't deny that. But. You know, the early Resident Evil games especially.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing Resident Evil 2 the last couple of weeks, and I like how they're doing it for anniversaries as well.
And have you played any Resident Evil as of yet?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
Yeah. I keep meaning to, but I keep getting distracted by other games.
It's easier
fair
done.
Fair point.
But I want to say as well, I mean, to say that Xbox games now are coming to PS5, do you think there needs to be an Xbox anymore now, or do you think we should just join as one?
I think it kind of puts an end to the console wars, which I thought was pointless anyway.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's good. In that sense, at least.
I mean, do you think they really... I mean, because if I heard right, I mean, I don't know if it's coming out in the next year or the year after, that they're already making a new console, but... Do you think it's worth buying, making a new console if you're gonna import the games to PS5 anyways? I mean, is there any point in that really? I don't know. I mean, it's like
there's not really a straight answer at the minute at this current time. I mean, there might be in the future, but at this current time, there's no straight answer.
I mean, you've got all the best franchises that the Xbox is bringing. I mean, we're bringing Forza, we're bringing Halo, we're bringing Gears of War, we brought Indiana Jones, which is, I mean, great game, by the way, if you haven't played it.
Is that
A Great Circle. If you really like Indiana Jones, I recommend playing that one.
It's just like being in the film itself.
Yeah, and really...
Well, films are, sorry.
Really, if we were going to do a fourth... If we were doing a fourth film, which we already had, I mean, if it did a fourth film before Kingdom of the Crystal Skull... That I would have loved to have seen Great Circle in film, because it's a lot closer to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Which is the best film out of the lot, in my opinion, out of the five, it's the best film out there.
Well, I like the original three better than the last two, I've got to be honest. I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark, top film, you know, you're not going to beat that one. Temple of Doom is a prequel to the Raiders of the Lost Ark, which a lot of people don't know about. People think it's a sequel.
A few years ago now, and I was like, "Oh, it's a prequel."
Yeah, it's a prequel. So, and Lost and the Last Crusade. I mean, that's a great film as well.
It had the perfect ending. You know, they all ride into the sunset. Like, yeah, your stereotypical like great movie ending.
Yeah.
Three main characters survive, off to the sunset, but then nearly 20 years later...
Four main characters.
Because they all run off to the sunset.
Yeah.
Nearly 20 years later, King of the Crystal Skull comes out.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, it didn't need it, as far as I'm concerned.
Think should have just left the three.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, It was all right at best. It weren't the best in the Indiana Jones film. And Dial of Destiny, I mean, it completely lost the plot. I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, it's like you just basically went back in time for the sake of it. It didn't have anything to do plot wise.
The ending, he didn't get the ending he deserved. Both Harrison Ford and the character.
And as far as I'm concerned with Indiana Jones, do you think it was more the case of it was Indiana Jones' film, or do you feel like it was his goddaughter's film? Because it felt like to
me, it was leaning towards the goddaughter.
Yeah, because Indiana Jones himself, I mean, it seemed to me it looked like he took a back step in the film, and it were more focused on the goddaughter, who could potentially lead the franchise, which I hope we don't, because well, that's my opinion. I hope we do it like a complete reboot of the entire series. But if we do a reboot, do it right. That's all.
Please,
I'll say.
Just we're begging you.
Yes. So I mean, we've seen what happened with Star Wars Episode 7 to 9. They just basically remaked the original trilogy.
And then ended it.
Yeah. So there were no points in, there was just no need for it, but...
No.
I mean, and then, say with James Bond, I mean, they've killed Bond off, which I still hate the ending, by the way, and spoilers, if you... But we're already thinking about Arthur bringing back, but if they're going to bring him back, I think what'd be interesting is the 1960s period, 1950s. In the Cold War, because that's where Bond started. But if we're going to go back to the 1950s, 1960s, don't put any of this woke into it.
No.
It doesn't need it. If you're going to do the 1950s, 1960s, do it right. That's all I'm saying.
It makes sense to do it right like that. I mean, as you say, it's where it started all. Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Honour the franchise.
Exactly.
That's all I say. But we are going to get into some music now. And this song came out just after last week's show. We would have loved to play it last week. And it's by Sheffield's very own Arctic Monkeys. And it is a charity song in relation to the charity War Child. And War Child Records produced this song. And is this going to be the first time we've heard it altogether? So you might get a live reaction.
Interesting.
After this. But the song is titled Opening Night.
Slogan in a bucket of pain, supercomputer on a jolly crusade, massaging your forearms, holding your gaze, stealing your thunder, washing your brain. Try not to wake up sleeping dogs just because you're a lonely little Hall of Famer. Tonight is heavy on one side, it's all alive. A set of cherry red. Mystery boxes from which
This is Matt Elders from Arctic Monkeys. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Opening night by the Arctic Monkeys, their brand new song, just released a week ago. And what did you both think of the song, actually?
It was really good.
Very somber.
Yeah.
It's what they're like now, because they're not in your face as they used to be. Like,
yeah.
Now they're a lot more calmer as they've got older, and everybody's starting to recognise them now.
Yeah. And it's also for a great charity called War Child as well. I mean, there's another song that another Sheffield band actually that's done a song for War Child. I don't know if it's released now. I don't think it is, but Pulp is doing a song on the album, so that'll be an interesting one to listen to as well, I think.
Well, I mean, it seems like they're getting two big Sheffield bands in.
Yeah,
which is a great thing for the city, but it's a great thing for the charity as well.
No, I mean, has anybody from the studio took a plaque for Pulp yet?
I've not been around the old Leadmill area much recently. I'm not sure if Jarvis has nicked it himself, because I remember at Tramlines last year, he was like, has anyone got like something to take it off?
Yeah,
he has expressed in all seriousness saying, I want it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? If it's a part of your band, then I don't see why.
I mean, unless like the electric's gonna just keep it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, if you can get if the plaque is still there, guys, bring it here.
Yeah, please. You
know, let's get Jarvis in this studio, because I would love to have an interview with Jarvis. He's a great singer, and I've got so many questions I would love to ask him as well.
We could speak all day to him, I think.
Yeah. Jarvis, if you're listening, you know, call us.
To us, I'd love to have the Arctic Monkeys in here as well, or at least a couple of members.
Arctic Monkeys, definitely. I would love to have
any Sheffield, but I mean, Def Leppard I'd love to have in here, Human League I'd love to have, ABC, the list goes on.
Yeah, well, you know what? You just ticked pretty much every single person in the list that I want. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've met some fantastic people and fantastic celebrities, but I really want some Sheffield talent here.
Please, like, you know, it'd be amazing for the show and for us just to sit around this table chatting away to icons, really.
I mean, I've been after Human League, years. I've been after them for years, and I thought the golden opportunity was Tramlines. Unfortunately, we didn't want to do an interview, so
that's
devastated with that. Same with Pulp. I mean, we didn't do any interviews at Tramlines. But those are the two greatest bands that you could have got. And, yeah, I thought there was a big chance then I could have gone about Tramlines, but unfortunately we weren't doing any.
Suppose we could try Def Leppard when they come to the arena.
I'd love
June, about June time.
Yeah, I'd love to get Def Leppard in here as well.
Because they're arguably the most successful band to come out of Sheffield. I mean, they conquered the USA.
You know what?
But they're all successful.
I mean, Human League, I mean, if I remember that Don't You Want Me, Human League, it's got over 300 million views on YouTube, and it's still one of the most popular songs.
I hear it everywhere, whether you go into, like, you're just out and about, you're in a pub or something. I hear it everywhere. It's been the case for years.
I mean, are you two going to Tramlines this year?
Well, I live down the road from it, so I can hear it from my house. So.
I'll try. I mean, I live on the other side. I live in Halfway. Get to Hillsborough is literally one tram to the other side. But I've done it before. I can get to Hillsborough easily, so I'll do my best to.
Well, I'll see if I can get tickets. I mean, I'll have to definitely see if I can get tickets.
I mean, when I went last year on the Doors, it was an experience. I got to see a bit of Pulp, and I got to explore the whole of Hillsborough Park because I'd never seen it in person, being at the festival.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my eyes. I mean, I've got my eyes on a couple of people that I want to interview, and I mean, definitely Rick Astley. I'd definitely love to interview Rick Astley. Gabrielle is another one. Reverend of the Makers I've met once. Really nice.
Another
people.
Great Sheffield.
Lucy Spraggan. That she came, I had the opportunity to meet her. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to to Tramlines because there were something wrong with trams, unfortunately, so I couldn't get there. So I missed out on Lucy Spraggan. But Reverend of the Makers I've interviewed. The other two that I want is, who I said really, is there's one more I want to add as well, Fatboy Slim. Fatboy Slim I would love to interview as well.
I know a couple of people from university who went down to Brighton to interview him. They managed to get hold of him.
Right.
Obviously, they used his real name, which is Norman Cook.
Right.
But everybody knows him as Fatboy Slim or Norman Cook. He's gone by both.
Yeah.
So it's worth a try. It is worth a try.
Well, I actually know a person who has actually worked with Fatboy Slim, actually. He used to come here to our studio, but he's actually in BBC Bristol now, or was. I mean, I don't know if he's still there. And his name is Chris Arnold, and he got some mixes from Fatboy Slim because he does a DJ set as well. So maybe there's a contact there possibly that I could try and get.
Potential chance there.
So who knows?
Who knows indeed. But Tramlines will be exciting. It always is every year.
Always is.
But this year's a particularly good lineup, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, last year's was great as well, with Pulp especially, but this year's pretty good.
I mean, to be honest, I thought I was expecting another Sheffield band to be headlining. And I mean, like, to be, I was expecting, like you say, either ABC or Def Leppard or Heaven 17 even.
I was expecting Def Leppard because during their tour, which includes the arena, there's a little gap in between their one show and their last show. And I was suspecting, like, that might fit into Tramlines because during their break is the weekend of track, but unfortunately not.
Arctic Monkeys, I thought one of those two might have performed at Tramlines. I mean, especially because if I remember right, Arctic Monkeys did a concert at the Hillsborough Park.
Yeah, a few years ago now. They did.
So they wouldn't be any stranger to doing Tramlines.
They know the area. I think some of them are big Sheffield Wednesday fans as well, from what I hear, and it's obviously right next to the stadium, so it's the perfect place, really, for them to perform, and it's a big space as well. Is it 50,000?
At least. 50,000, I think.
That's a lot of people. It is. I mean, the stadium's not as big as that in the country.
I mean, we've already sold out tickets, Tramlines. I mean, it's that popular, and I'm not... When Tramlines ends this last year, we were already talking about Tramlines next year. Like, who do you want to see? And obviously, we didn't find out until end of the year because we need to get all contacts and that. And I was actually pretty surprised with the actual list. I mean, Rick Astley and Gabriel, I didn't think we would be there. It would have been their scene, to be honest. But I'm surprised, really.
I mean,
a lot of people surprised me. Who came, Natasha Bedingfield. That was another one. Pub again. Human League. I didn't think Human League would do it.
So you never know with Tramlines. They always have something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
And you know, I always look forward to seeing who they're, even if I'm not going, I always look forward to looking who's on the lineup.
Yeah. So I'm talking a year ahead now, and I shouldn't be really. We need to get Tramlines this year over and done with first before we talk about next year. But I've already got thinking about what's going to happen for Tramlines next year.
I think even 5 years in advance, you always think, like, who's going to be there?
Yeah.
That probably goes with every festival as well. I mean, Glastonbury, you always think of as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's another one that's like Tramlines as well. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Rock and Roll Service.
Is that the one at Don Valley?
At the Don Valley Bowl, yeah.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. Never been, but I know of it.
Yeah. I've never been to it, but...
I know last year they had a good lineup though.
Yeah, I tried getting in touch with him actually because I would love to have interviewed him. Because Reverend of the Makers did the headlining for the Rock and Roll Circus. Brian Adams, I would have loved to have got him. And I think there was another one as well. Was it Craig David? I think Craig David.
There was Queens of the Stone Age who were there. And Melanie C from the Spice Girls.
I might have got that one wrong then, so I do apologise for that, folks. But, I thought Craig David did it. And, yeah, still a bit of a sore subject for me, Craig David. People know, you two know why.
It's a sad story.
Well, it's not a sad story, just disappointing. It's, yeah, you know, especially when you got to meet him, but instead I went on holiday instead.
Please tell me the holiday was at least decent.
Oh, the holiday was decent.
I would have liked to interview Craig David. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, it was just a once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, you're never going to get that again, are you? You know what I mean? But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And I've got a few people to thank for that, but we'll go no more on that.
Well, we've been talking about Rick Astley for the last few minutes, so we are going to play one of his... It's not the one you think it is. It's not the one that's got over 1 billion streams on Spotify, but this is still a very good song.
You're not going to Rick Roll us, are you?
No, not today, not today. Another time, but this is Together Forever.
Satisfy everything.
Astley and Together Forever, followed by Rainbow, Since You've Been Gone. Two very good songs.
Yeah, great songs. I mean, you know, you don't get music like that now anymore, now, do
no,
you?
No, it's... and I don't think we ever will again.
You know, I mean, those, you know, half of those times were the pinnacle of music at the time. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong, you still get an odd one or two songs that are great. Yeah. But do you feel like music now is more computerised now?
Yes. I mean, especially now some people are using AI.
Yeah.
Either to help them write songs or to...
I don't know. I don't like the idea of using AI because it's... I mean, AI now, it's like you say, it's taken over control over everything. And, I mean, I don't want to be... I'm not trying to be negative about it. I mean, it could help for some places, but... Unfortunately, I think a lot of jobs, we're losing a lot of jobs over AI, unfortunately.
Just with music as well, you lose that creativity.
Exactly.
It becomes laziness if you're not careful.
I mean, it's like they're already replacing people with AI, and it's wrong. I don't want to go too deep into it because it is kind of a bit of a sore subject for people. But it's like... I don't know,
It's a big subject, but it's also difficult to talk about at times.
It is. I mean, it's like, we're not going to need soldiers anymore because you've got unmanned drones, you've got the movie industry that wants to create likenesses for actors, like Harrison Ford and stuff like that, and also replicate the voices, which they are trying to do. We also got, like, the future now, unfortunately, is computerised. And a lot of people, and they're saying, like, they want to teach people about how to use AI, but, yeah, it'll be great, yeah, it'll be a good idea, but I think too much of a good thing is not... too great, really, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, yeah, it might be helpful, but it could also hinder. And if you're losing jobs over it, it's not a good look. That's my opinion, anyway. But
it's a good thing to talk about what you've just said. But in our final few minutes, there's another game you want to mention. It's a bit of a... Would you say it's a throwback?
It is. It's actually an original PlayStation game. And... Do you remember the old beat 'em up games? And say like
I used to have Tekken 3 for the PS1. That's
the old combat games.
Well, have you ever played like any Mega Drive games? No. Well, actually, no, because you're the age. So, I mean, well, I'm showing my age now. I mean, I used to have an old Mega Drive, and we used to play a game called Streets of Rage. And those were the classics back then. I mean, you had like your Sonic, you had your Super Mario and all that. There were no Call of Duty, there were none of that.
There was no anything like that.
Oh, no Battlefield, none of that. And then when the PlayStation came out, that was the next level in gaming because 3D was just being introduced at the time. There were a lot of 2D games as well, but a lot of 3D games as well. And you get special beat-em-ups. I mean, like, I remember Batman Forever. That was a great game. And that was a beat-em-up. And they made a game from Eidos. Eidos and Core, I think it was. And it was called Fighting Force, which began as a sequel to Streets of Rage 4. But Sega had already planned for Streets of Rage 4, so we had to rename the game to Fighting Force. And Fighting Force 1 is a beat-em-up in the vein of Streets of Rage, but in 3D background. And again, it was a great game. And we've just remade it. We've just made it into a PS5 game now. It's the same graphics. It's the same. It's, you know, the same quality as the PlayStation 1. So you're going. So the nostalgia is still there.
Something to, because I like old graphics in games as well.
Yeah.
I don't like when it modernizes too much. If it makes them better and stand out, it's all right. But even GoldenEye, when it's on Xbox Game Pass, that's still got its original graphics.
Still a great game, GoldenEye.
But original graphics are great still, they forever will be.
I mean, I've tried the remake of GoldenEye, and I mean, it's all right but it's never going to beat the original GoldenEye.
No.
I mean, I think also another problem was we were trying to make it too much into a Call of Duty game than a James Bond game, really. Because we were talking about, and again, it's like with James Bond, we were saying, like, we were more focusing on the action parts rather than the actual James Bond himself, where it's not just action, it's all a mixture of everything. There's like drama, there's stealth and all that, and there wasn't any of that in the Activision games, unfortunately. But no, going back to Fighting Force, it was a collection of two games, so there was only like the Fighting Force 1 and there was Fighting Force 2. Now, Fighting Force 2 was more, there is parts of a beat-em-up there, but not as much of a linear. It's not as much of a beat-em-up as Fighting Force 1. The Fighting Force 2 has got more action, it's got more stealth, it was more. And there's only one character in this game, his name is Hawk in this one. And Hawk was in Fighting Force 1, but in Fighting Force 1 you could play as with two players. Whereas Fighting Force 2, it's just a single-player campaign only. And it's limited. It's a limited edition game as well. And limited games, and I want to say thank you to Limited Games for giving me a copy of the game. It's a great game. And if you want nostalgia, I mean, go for it. It's really good. It's
highly recommended.
Yeah, it's a real So if you like to go see what old games are like, I mean, back in 30, 40 years ago, you know, start there, because when you can play a classic like that, it's like, I think a lot of people today now, unfortunately, especially if you play PlayStation 5 games, might struggle to go back in time to see what the games actually like, because a lot of people complain about graphics and all that, and it's not always about graphics. If the game plays right, then the gameplay is good.
It's all about the story. Well, the story and gameplay, but yes. Graphics aren't the most important.
I mean, that's it. A lot of people now, unfortunately, use graphic, talking about graphics, and graphics are not always.
No, no. But we are coming to the end of the show. Well, we are at the end of the show.
Oh, in fact, it's flown again.
Flown again. Always literally always does. We'll say it every time after the end of every show. It always just flies.
We don't know. You know,
an hour's not enough.
You know, we've never even done out, have we? We haven't even. We just barely spoken yet. We've already come to end that show. It's unbelievable.
But quickly before we finish and get on to the final song, how can you get in touch with the show and sit around this table with us and join us and talking about anything you want, really?
Yeah, we're still looking for more people. I mean, if you want to come and join our team and also talk about our latest topic, it's what we always talk about. I mean, if you want to come and join us and do a live show with us, please get in touch with us. You can find us on our Facebook page at Communities Live. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website where you can find more information on. And you can also get in touch with me at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. Again, we have our very own Facebook page at Communities Live. You can get in touch with me at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. Or you can also find more information on the Sheffield Live webpage.
Thank you very much, Chris. And well, the last thing as well, the competition. We are extending the deadline again.
Yes, we're going to extend.
Still more opportunities for people to enter.
Yes. I will put more details on the Commuters Live Facebook page later on today. The competition is still going ahead. Good luck to everybody who enters.
Thank you, and it's been a pleasure having you both here around the table, as always.
Thank you very much.
And we will be back next week on Thursday, but we are going to get into the final song, and this is an absolutely legendary song, and it's been made popular by Stranger Things recently in the final series. Unfortunately, I have to play the shortened version due to time, but I'd love to play the full version sometime.
Yeah, you can't beat it. It's classic.
And it is Prince with Purple Rain.
I never meant to call you any sorrow. I never meant to call you any pain. I'm the one who wants to have you laughing. Purple rain, purple rain, purple rain.
make up your mind. I think you better close it.